been, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here another week on the Tony Sands Show Wednesday. Here we go each and every Wednesday from 8 to 9. The Tony Sands Show is bringing you a hot topic this week. Folks, I don't know if I want to call this topic hot, but it's a topic that is circulating, has been circulating since last year. And this topic touched me so much because I was in the area when this story broke, when this story here broke throughout the nation, when this story broke. I was in Orlando, Florida, when this story broke big time. I remember I was in my hotel room, me and my wife, and we were up on a band trip to Orlando, to the Citrus Bowl, the classic. Folks, yes, I'm talking about the FAMU hazing incident that caused the life of Robert Champion. That's right, Robert Champion. We're going to dig deep into this here on the Tony Sands Show, the first half of this great hour that you're going to have with me and some of my guests. I'm going to bring guests on my show that we're going to get into this topic. And some of the one of the guests that I bring on is very understanding of this topic and knows a lot about FAMU because he attended FAMU. But before we get into that, I wanted you to hear the soundbite from what the governor of the state of Florida stated about this case. I'm going to let you hear the governor and what he said, how this case should play out. So this is going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting case because I'm saying to myself, how do we ourselves play this? How do we go about doing a lot of this in this case? How do we fathom that all of a sudden you go on a trip, you send your son on a trip, and all of a sudden he does not return back to his school at all? He does not return to his school at all. But let's hear, and I want you to hear this for several reasons. I want you to hear the governor speaking, and it is our soundbite number 7 that we had, and it's going to let you hear a little bit of this soundbite. And here it is before we get into it. Let's hear it. I'm going to let you hear it and let you be the judge as we dig deep into this case. Let's hear that soundbite. Let's play this.
We are a state that believes in justice. We believe in due process. So we've got this proceeding. I have a 15-hour trial. I feel sorry for the my prayer goes out to Robert Champion's mother and the entire family community and everybody in Newey. And look forward to seeing what happens. But you know, one of the great things about our state is we the state of laws. We're a 40-year low in our crime rates. So things are going in the right direction. And this is the right process.
But what do you think the university could be is going to lose a lawsuit over this at some point in time? You know, Mark B. Anderson case, the governor stepped up and brokered a settlement. So he saved the family a lot of pain. And maybe we should have the family and the state settled and start talking about settlement. I think the right thing now is to let the process proceed. See what happens in this process.
Now, that was a soundbite from the governor here of the great state of Florida talking about this case. And one thing he said, we're going to let the process play its way out. We're going to let the process play its way out. But people, you got to understand. You got to understand. There's no way you can think or imagine, unless you've been in this case, how you would feel if your child or daughter went off to school and they're on this fabulous trip, such as the classic is, and all of a sudden you get a call saying that your child has collapsed and died. Collapsed and died. But I'm going to bring a guest on, and this guest I'm bringing on, and we're going to talk a little bit more because this guest knows a lot about FAMU, knows a lot about the culture of FAMU. So I'm going to bring my guest on. We're going to keep his name off. I'm going to call him Tim, and that's going to be Tim for you. And that's what you know him as, because he's close to the stories, and I know how the story can play. All right, Tim, welcome to the Tony Sands Show. How you doing?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's great when I can have a guest come on that knows so much about a topic that we have. And the topic that we have, as you heard Rick Scott, the governor, great governor of the state of Florida, talk about this case. And he understand later in that soundbite, he understood the importance of FAMU ban. He understand the culture, but he also understand that this type of behavior cannot take place. And people, hazing goes on a lot. Let's not forget, hazing in sports, it's like a hush-hush. You don't speak about it.
Yeah, but one thing I'm going to say about the governor, because his side on this has changed back and forth, you know, a lot. I think with him, it's more political. I don't really think he really cares about the situation that happened. I think he just cares about how the reflection is on him. I really don't believe in that with him.
Now, he is the governor, and we must understand, he is the governor of the state of Florida. So with him being the governor of the state of Florida, he has to govern law, because he is the one that sits in Tallahassee and govern law. So that means he was real close to this story, because it's in his state that this incident happened. And FAM, he understands the culture of FAM. He understands the culture of FAM.
He's right there in Tallahassee, and FAM, he was right there in Tallahassee. And I'm going to start out by saying this. The manslaughter charge is probably the correct charge that they should be bringing on those young men. And it's not a situation where a lot of people are going to say, well, they didn't know. They were told over and over again, the band told them, the school told them not to do what they did, and it occurred.
And that's what, people, as we stated, manslaughter charge. The reason why we're bringing this story back to you, because if you haven't heard, on Monday, March 4th, 2013, prosecutors are charging 12 of Florida A&M University band members with manslaughter in the 2011 hazing death of drum major Robert Champion. You remember earlier, the first charge that was put out was in May, when they said they would hit him with felony hazing. They would hit him with felony hazing in the death of 26-year-old Robert Champion. New prosecutor Peter has taken over this case. And with him taking over this case, he's looked deep inside this and said, guess what? We're changing the game.
And you know what, he might have done that, because one thing I looked at was everybody saying hazing, hazing, hazing. To me, hazing is something that I'm forced to do. I'm coming in as a freshman, and I'm asked to come in here, and I have to do this in order to be part of this. This is what I got to do. This was a 26-year-old man that had been in that band since he was 18. And he asked to do what occurred. He asked them to stay on that bus so he could go over on bus C. So that's, I think that's one reason they put the hazing out of there and made it a manslaughter charge.
Right, but wait a minute now. You said, and this is where listeners are probably saying, okay.
No, he didn't ask to die. I know you. He did not ask to die. He asked to go over on bus feed. He asked to go through the ritual. He already knew what the ritual was.
Right. He understood what the ritual was, but did he really understand the depth of this ritual?
I'm quite sure he knew the intensity of it. I don't know. Nobody in the end of it knew what was going to happen. And it was wrong. It shouldn't have happened. The hazing that's been going on is wrong. And not only on FAMS campus, but all over the nation, it's bad. It is extremely bad. And that's the worst I've seen it on FAMU's campus. But, I mean, doing some research today, it's horrible.
But like you said, wait, and you said he asked, he knew what would happen, and he probably knew, okay, this is what goes on Bus C. And then we take it back to Bus C, and this is why I'm talking about Bus C now, and I'm going to talk about this. It amazes me how this hazing incident took place, and the bus driver was nowhere around. I've traveled on many buses playing sports, and I have never seen a bus driver leave their bus unattended with students, with professional athletes, or with college athletes on the bus. So it leads me to think that
he knew what was going to happen. You're right.
It leads me to think that, hey, somebody told this driver, this is Bus C. This is what goes on Bus C. And at this point in time, you got to pay like you don't see nothing. You got to disappear. Leave this bus, because that's too much activity going on one bus after this big event of them playing a great show at the Classic, to leave your bus unattended, because you never know if you had to go up under the bottom, open that up to let people get their instruments out or something. And all of a sudden, this is the bus that this beating takes place on. That the beating take place on the bus that wasn't attended. What about the other buses? Bus A, Bus B, or whatever, how they ever number them. Those drivers probably locked that bus because they knew, guess what? That wasn't taking place. And this company probably is the same company that have traveled with FAMU throughout the country. And they knew about this culture. And that's why it amazes me how a lot of the administrators can sit there and say they did not know that this culture was going on this campus.
What I got for you that bothered me was they consider the band, now they consider the band as an organization on the campus, as if they're just a fraternity or a sorority.
Correct.
And when that band, just like UM's football team, University of Miami's football team, is part of that campus, it's not just an organization, but it is a program on that campus. Flanagan University's band is a program on that campus.
Correct.
And that brings in the biggest amount of money that any other program brings, more than any sports program or anything else. And now it's like the campus, well, even though the president did resign, but it's like they're saying, oh, well, this is an organization that did the wrong thing. No, this is part of your school. This is part of a program in your school that did the wrong thing. And a lot of those people should be handled. But this has been going on since the 80s that I know of.
Correct.
On that campus, where the football team, if you was on the football team, you had to go over. If you was on the track team, you had to go over. And you weren't given that choice as Champion was given. That
right,
was something that you had to do.
Right, but wait a minute. Now you say it's something that had to take place in order to go over on the band. I've been a part of hazing, and I'm gonna tell you, I've been a part of hazing, but I've never been a part. And the kind of hazing I've been a part of is that, okay, you stand up, you may have to sing. You may have to be tied to a goalpost. You may have to go and get donuts for the veteran guys. I've never been a part of a culture of hazing that required beating. This is why I did not pledge fraternities, because I said to myself, no, nobody is going to beat on me. My parents disciplined me when I was a young kid. I didn't like getting beatings then. So why am I going to become a grown man in order for me to become some part of some organization? I got to take a beating. That's not going to take place under my watch. Not going to take place with me, because I know I'm putting my life in the hands of someone else when I allow that person to beat me, because I don't know what kind of anger that person may have against me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it may become of.
And it becomes personal. And it does become personal. I don't believe in what the media is saying about somebody said that, they think that he was gay and that's why it happened, because this is the first time that I've heard about it. But for him, this was a young man that probably had brought those, the people that beat him, the people that was the 12 members that was involved with this. With him being 26 years old and been in that band so long, those guys are, most of those guys are younger than him, and he had brought them into the band. And I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna come out in the defense that this guy had hazed them, that this guy had the same thing that they went through. That he went through on bus C was the same thing that this young man, Champion, and I'm not trying to put Champion, I'm not trying to hurt Champion's family, but in most cases, he had participated, but he had been in the band this long, for this many years, he had participated on the other side of this. And I'm quite sure if it's true or not, I know the defense is going to bring this up.
Right, but they can bring it up all they want. They can bring it up all they want, but does it justify him beating someone else and someone else beating him that severely to where
nothing justifies it?
Where the corner calls it. Where the corner
nothing justifies it. Nothing is gonna make it right.
And the corner calls this a homicide. The corner called this a homicide from blunt trauma. That means they severely beat this young man to a pulp. But we're going to go to a commercial break. Before we go to the commercial break, I'm going to leave you out on the soundbite of the 911 call that was made on the bus when Robert Champion collapsed. We're going to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back with another soundbite of the first young man being sentenced in this case. But I'm going to leave you with this 911 call. Stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show as we dig deeper into the death of Robert Champion.
Where can I arrest you?
We are at Logan Plaza and on I Drive, and
what's
my stomach is on the bucket and not breathing.
What's the address? I
don't know the address. I really don't know. We're okay. At the Florida A&M University.
Okay, can you ask somebody there for the address? Because that's what I need.
I'm on a plane.
One second. MD, I got 9700
I Drive. Okay. Caller, you said you're on a bus, though?
Yeah, we're on a bus. See what it says.
Are you at the bus?
We're on a bus.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Still be a badass, baby.
We'll be right back.
catch, can it throw? Are you ready? Are you ready?
It got quick feet, can it move, can it go?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Can it run, can it catch, can it throw?
Are you
in the FAMU hazing case. That suspect pleaded guilty and was sentenced to no time served. Watch 2's Gail Pascoe-Brown has the latest from the Orange County Courthouse.
With tears and a heavy heart, Brian Jones told the Champion family that he prays the family will look to God for strength and forgiveness.
You don't deserve to go through this pain. Nobody does. No parent, no brother, no sister, no friend deserves to go through what you all have been going through for the past year.
Orange County Judge Mark Lubetz said he could have destroyed this young man's life with prison time, but says this was an isolated incident and that Jones' participation was minor. He used this quote.
It says, "I have found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice." This quote's from Abraham Lincoln.
With that, Brian Jones was sentenced to 6 months community control, 2 years supervised probation, and 200 hours of community service, which includes a four-hour anti-hazing course. In the case of the hazing death of Robert Champion last November, Brian Jones' mother had this to say.
But I must say that I thank God for being the God that he is. And if you all will continue to pray for both families, that both families will be able to heal.
My reactions were the disappointment, but I do understand. And the mere fact that Ryan stepped up and took the initiative, which should be what everyone do, step up and take the initiative for what you have done wrong.
Welcome back here to the Tony Sands Show, and you heard those two sound bites. You heard the 911 call that was made from the bus. And then you heard the first young man being sentenced in this case. And you heard both mom speak. Both moms speak. The young man that was being sentenced, his mom spoke of the hurt that this incident has brought to both families. And Robert Champion mom spoke about and spoke so elegant about it, how it affected her. She understands. And it sounded like she didn't want this young man's life to be destroyed, but she was glad that this young man stepped up in this case. And if you want to chime in on this topic, you can call us here at 530-513-6472. I said 530-513-6472. Or you can call us at 888-429-5471, and that's in the U.S. or Canada. That's 888-429-5471. If you want to chime in on this topic and imagine yourself being the parent to get that call, if you're in sports or if you're in any place and you're sending your child off to school, this is what can happen. Wow, that's deep. But let's get back to this now. Let's get back to this. Let's get back deep into this. Let's dig into it. Because now these young men are being charged with manslaughter. Manslaughter. The young man, other young man, because he pled so fast, was only charged with felony hazing and given probation, community service, and had to attend an anti-hazing class. But these other young men will face a jury of their peers in a manslaughter death. And understanding manslaughter, only thing that a prosecutor got to prove is that the action led to the death. And as you've seen in the coroner report stated it was a homicide due to blunt trauma. And this young man had bruises on his chest. And if you continue to pound on one's chest, sooner or later, you're going to affect one of the most important things of the body, and that is the heart that continues to pump blood through the body. Through the body. But let's get back to it. And as I told you, hazing goes on a lot. Tim, you understand that hazing goes on a lot. It goes on so much that this was a culture that was known throughout FAMU's band. And it took something like this for everyone to say, you know what, there's a problem. I could imagine how many more other kids probably had been beaten and they probably had broken bones, cracked sternums, bruised up so bad that they had to go to the hospital, because it was a young lady that spoke about this, to where she got out of the band. Her parents forced her to get out of the band due to the fact that her body, she had to go to the hospital because she was just that severely beat. And to say that band instructors, band leaders, administrators does not know that this culture goes on is beyond me. Because I know.
It's been going on longer than that. I mean, and I'm not talking about on Florida A&M's campus.
Correct.
One thing we found out was that since 1970, that's for the last 43 years.
Correct.
For the last 43 years, there has been a death on a college campus due to hazing. Now, I don't know how it's been brushed under the rug. I can't explain that to you, but it's been happening.
But now, you know, hazing
done at one college where they found out that 80% of all athletes, we're not even just talking about band members, fraternities, or sororities, 80% of all athletes are hazed. And this is something that's brushed under. And when we talk about hazing, more people thinking, oh, well, they're making them put on a dress and run down
and
the street.
But that's that's the hazing culture that I know. That's the hazing culture that I know. And you know, when you talk about fraternities and sororities, especially fraternities, you know, when you talk about those, and I know I'm only talking from the white institution because I went to a white institution. When I hear hazing on their campus, I'm hearing that they're forcing guys to do a lot of drinking. I have never heard to where they beat people that severely. I've never heard of that. I didn't hear of that until this incident with FAM. And I was up, as I told you, I was up in on that.
Most of your hazing deaths are related to drinking. And a lot of them are sports. A lot of them are sports related, where the teams are making these freshmen, which most of the time are 17 years old, are they forcing them to drink. And to me, it doesn't matter how it happened. That person died, and that was brushed under the rug. I'm going to tell you one I looked at today. At Thorndale High School in Texas, four players received misdemeanor charges of hazing after sodomizing a teammate. And I found out that in wrestling, and if for some reason in wrestling and hockey, you got a lot of sodomizing cases, you got a lot of serious cases, and they were brushed under. At the University of Vermont, they had a hockey case, and it was just brushed up under where they had serious incidents occur. And sometimes these are not just the teammates. Sometimes these are the coaches that's involved.
Right, and I know it's a culture. I know it's a culture. Now, it is a culture that is what we consider underground. You don't speak about it. It's something that's hush-hush. You don't speak about this culture. But I still say it. I'm going to say it. I don't know. I've never seen it to a point to where people are being massively beaten, though. I'm trying to wrap my finger around. And I'm going to tell you this, and this is why this topic is so passionate to me, because my daughter was in the band, and I can remember when we got the call over at the hotel, and we got the call from a mother whose child was in the band, and she told us a member of the band has just died on the bus. And we had all us, because everybody had, we had just left the stadium. It wasn't too long before we left the stadium, so it brought me back to my own daughter that if I leave, if I wasn't on the trip, are people truly, truly watching these children? Because I was a chaperone, and what I'm responsible for people's children, because I'm not in the business of making no more children. When I'm responsible for people's children, I must do just that. I must be responsible. But now let's talk about this now. Let's talk about this, because we got to get into it, because people are probably wondering. Now, correct. So you as a parent that knew of this culture, am I right or wrong?
Yes.
Okay, and you knew of the culture because you attended FAMU, so you knew what was involved in going over line with the band?
I attended the school.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a part of the band, but I was part of other organizations.
Correct.
I went through that. I was in one. Matter of fact, I put it on the track team.
Correct.
They tried to force us to be part of that, and I remember standing up and saying, "No, I'm not going to go through this to be part of this."
Wait a minute now.
I still was part of that, but it was just. But a lot of times, those guys can't stand up; they're not strong enough to do so.
Right.
But I want to wake your eyes up to one thing, and that a lot of people don't understand: at these high school bands, and I know this for a fact, that same culture is going on because they know that it goes on the college campuses, and they bring it down on the high school campuses.
But who bring it down? It's the band members that's already in the band at these universities. And one thing, when you said track to me, it brought me back to this. I'm like, which we know it is nothing but a form of, and we must understand, it's a form of organized bullying. Let's get it right. It's a form of organized bullying.
You know,
and in some cases,
right.
Excuse me?
You're absolutely right. I'm on your side with that one.
A form of organized bullying, I don't care how you put it, where you put it, how it goes, it is what it is. So, in certain cases, around the country, there's incidents to where there's been sodomizing going on in hazing.
You're right.
People have been abused severely in this to where it lasts with them a lifetime. So I'm trying to get a picture now. Now I'm gonna take it back. Now, like you said, you as a parent that understood this culture and this is what it takes to go over line, correct?
I don't think this is what it takes because you can stand up and decide that it's not going to happen.
To you, correct.
You can stand up and decide that it's not going to happen and there's nothing they could do about it. They might not so far as they say.
But do you cross, though? But do you cross, though? Do you go over if you don't do it?
First of all, to be a part of a band or a football team.
But do you go over?
Where you're supposed to perform at, you don't have to worry about that. Now, in these fraternities and sororities, no, they don't let them cross over. That's going on. And some of them even write nationals and they go and they complain. And yeah, they give them the letters, but they're still not respected on that campus. And a lot of times they want that respect.
Right. You want the respect, but it goes back to this. And I don't know much about the band at FAMU, so I'm here to say that, and that's why I brought somebody on, people here on the Tony Sands Show. If you want to chime in on this topic, you can call us here at 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. or Canada. That's 888-429-5471. We're here talking about the death of Robert Champion here on the Tony Sands Show, and we've talked a great deal about this case. But I'm saying to you, a parent that understands this culture, because now the mother of Robert Champion stated that she was unaware today on ESPN, she was unaware of this culture.
I don't believe that.
But now, I can believe it from a standpoint. If I'm not, and understand, you said you went to FAM. She may not have went to FAM. She may have never went to college. So if she's never went to college, it's hard.
Her child was in that band for 26, from 18 to 26. Her son was in that band for 8 years. And she's telling me that they never had a conversation and that never was brought up. And I don't believe that. I really
don't.
Because
he knew, if he knew that his parents wouldn't allow it, if he knew his parents wouldn't allow this, and would not stand for this, but he wanted to be a part of this, why would you, as a kid, go and tell your parent that? Because two things can happen. Your parent either calls the school and brings up a stink down, it really makes you look bad, or your parents tell you to leave the band because they don't tolerate that kind of behavior. So I can believe if you're a parent that's not on that campus, never been to that campus, never been to a black campus, period, until your child got there, you can't be kind of naive.
You know what, Tony? If for her to say that means she's trying to say she never came and visited him She's never seen them practice. She's never sat in the stands and watched the game, besides Florida Classic, but the other games, because it was visible. The hazing, not the physical part of it, not the beating part of it, but the hazing part of it was visible.
But how is the hazing part visible if I go to a game, if I go to a practice? They're not going to show that.
I'm going to tell you this. It is visible. You can see it. It's not something for the school to just, that's why I say for the school to just say, try to wash their hands of the situation.
They know what's coming down the pike.
If you're sitting in the stands near the band, you see what the freshmen are going through. If you go watch them practice, and when they practice, it's a crowd. It might be over 1,000 people just watching them practice sometimes.
But
you will visibly see the hazing.
But I'm being beat though in front of these people. We're saying hazing, but you can hazing to me in this culture that this has continued to fester in, to me, the hazing part, the mental abuse is what takes place during practice. And that's at any practice. That's at football practice sometime. That's at basketball practice when the coaches yell at you. Your buddies may, hey, man, get your butt together. But the physical abuse is what brought this situation on. It wasn't the verbal abuse. And I understand verbal abuse, physical abuse is all the same. But what we're going to see as people on the outside, because once I got into, and I would say, the culture of attending black schools events, black school events. And that was when I went to the Classic. Was the first time that I have ever went to a black school event, far as like dealing with the bands. And I was excited. I was very excited about attending this. And me being there, I still would have never imagined that this underground world goes on.
Both of us are athletes.
Right.
Both of us athletes. And we know that what you deal with mentally, that harassment is way worse than physical harassment.
Correct.
We know that as athletes. And I'm telling you a word. But one thing that I want to deal with this, and that's the fact that this has been going on, and all of a sudden it happens at a, and I'm going to say this like this, it happens at a black institution.
You can say it. You don't hear on the Tony Sands show. We can talk and tell it just like it is, so you can't say it.
And all of a sudden, it's national news when, like I said, since 1970. For 43 years, a student has died because of hazing on a college campus.
But now, wait a minute. People, then I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a minute. People will say, was the other hazing cases magnified to a standpoint of they were already at the Classic, which has national recognition, correct? To where a lot of media is going to be at, correct? And then you're talking about a worldwide known band, one of the best bands in the country. That's just like saying Alabama. You couldn't hide something that takes place on Alabama's campus. You just couldn't. You cannot, because of their recognition for their football program. FAM is known for its marching 100.
I don't care how big it is. When they want to brush something under the table, they can brush it under the table. I'm not saying this should have been brushed under the table. I'm saying that at these other schools, if something serious happens, I don't care how small the school is. I don't care how small the community is. You watch the news every day. You know how the media is. I don't care how small the community. I don't care how small the school is. When there's a serious incident, it can be brought into the media and made national news. Every year there's been a death on a college campus due to hazing, and it has not met the news. The media has not decided that this is national news. And all of a sudden, at Florida A&M University, a Division One AA college.
Correct.
That's a black school. Yes, the band is big. Yes, the band is well known. But you're telling me that you can that all of a sudden this is the worst thing that in the world is happening when it's been happening for the last 43 years, every year at least one death. And I'm telling you, and then we're sitting at here. You look at, and a lot of you readers can look at. All you got to do is go on Google.
Correct.
Hazing deaths, sport hazing deaths, and you're going to see a list of all these high schools, all these colleges, where serious hazing problems have happened, and we've never heard of it.
Okay, and I'm gonna run down the list of some of them. In 1980. But these didn't lead to death now. They're just hazing that went on. 1980, University of Michigan hockey team. 1981, a high school soccer team were hazing where a freshman were abused physically and thrown in the mud and head, and a coach and two assistants were dismissed. You look closer, bring it closer toward us. A lot of them was football. A lot of them was hockey. A lot of this stuff is mainly a culture to where it was a male culture, and that was understood that this what takes place. But like I said, I've never been to a culture that take place. And you got to understand, now when this situation came about, the state of Florida had just implemented an anti-bullying campaign of to where schools, no bullying campaign would take place. And when you look at hazing, I think that was another thing that led to this campaign, because this is coming from Tallahassee. The state of Florida implemented a no bullying school in the school campaign. So now here we go. This death take place. So now guess what? We even make this even more sensationalized, because now we're able to back our cause.
But it's not even a bullying case. I don't consider
hazing
it bullying.
Is bullying. Hey, you don't think hazing is bullying?
No, hazing is bullying.
That's what I'm saying.
Still,
so
it's not a hazing. I'm going to tell you, to me, it's not a hazing or a bullying case. It's not a hazing and it's not a bullying case. When I go somewhere and I ask you to do this to me so I can be respected by you, when I become head drum major next year, you'll say, hey, I'm cool with you. That's all this was about. I'm not saying it should have happened. It was wrong. It shouldn't have never happened. The school should have had control of it. The staff should have had control of it. It shouldn't have never happened. I know that the staff did tell them not to do these type of things. I know that the school did tell them not to do these type of things. They've been telling them that since the 80s. I know that for a fact.
Right, but they've been telling them that since the 80s.
Even to go even further, you know, we haven't really went into it, but you know, my son was in that band.
That's what that, and I wanted to get to that. I wanted to get to that.
My son was in that band. And the deepest part of that is that that same year, my son was asked to be a drum major, and he declined. And the reason that he declined, because as a freshman, he had already went through that a few years before that. And he was, and for him to say, he said, Daddy, I don't want to go through that again. Even though that wasn't, the incident had nothing to do with being a drum major, it had to do more with being in bar bus seat. But he just did not want to go through that type of
physical
thing
abuse.
Again. He
the physical abuse,
fact,
call it what it is,
band,
physical
he
abuse.
He was in Orlando that year, but he sat out from the band that year. And he just wanted to do some different things.
But now, tell me this, because I want to get your opinion on it, and you're so close to it. Like you say, your son was in the band,
right?
Because I want you to get I want to get an understanding of that. My listeners get an understanding of what could have possibly been going on in the minds of this parent, Robert Champion's parent. You knew
what
the culture was going on.
When it happened.
Yeah.
The first thing I was like, I tried to get my son. I tried to talk to him. I said, just go through this because the job's going to, if you become a drum major at Florida A&M University, the job that you're going to, you're not going to have to look for a job. You just go, they just going to come, and it actually happened. I was like, you get this. go ahead and do this. And I looked at that, and I sat back and I thought about it. How I would have felt, and what, you know,
how you would have felt. That's what I wanted. How you would have felt, a parent that was aware that this culture is going on, and say, you know what, that's part of the territory. And then all of a sudden you get that call, that tragic call, that your child has collapsed on a bus. Because that's how they gave it to Robert Champion parents. They told them that their child had collapsed, because I'm quite sure that's how the kids gave it to the adults and the authorities. And you could clearly hear that in the 911 case. How you would have felt if you knew that culture existed, but yet you put your child in harm's way for the sake of saying this what goes with the territory?
Tony, I can't even answer that, because it would have hurt me. And it hurt me to the fact that I wanted him. I couldn't understand why he was turning down
the band.
Turning down being a drum major that same year. Why he said, Daddy, I don't want to do that. Why I don't want to be. And they, in most cases, the kids go out for drum major, but no, he was asked to be a drum major. And why he turned it down, you know, I couldn't understand that. But I know that the kids are not in agreement with. I thought that me and you talked earlier about it.
Correct. We talked earlier about this. That we did.
In the Zimmerman case, around the same time, you know, after this had happened, you know, we had the Zimmerman case.
Correct.
And they was on campus, and the kids were protesting. And, you know, the DJ mentioned the Zimmerman case. And what erupted at the party was who killed Champion. So, like, a lot of people think that, oh, well, you know, the people at Florida A&M disagreed with what happened. No, the students at Florida A&M University do not agree with what happened. They are upset about what those 12 people did. They're not on the same page with them. And that's what I found out. I know my son is upset about what happened. He's not on the same page. And I know that a lot of his friends, a lot of those kids, they really started protesting the situation with Champion. To them, that was worse than the Zimmerman case.
Yeah, because they were closer to this case, because they knew Robert Champion. They had probably seen him on campus. This was something that happened close to them. It happened to home. It happened home base. And they were more attached to this.
At the time of the Zimmerman case, you know, there hadn't been any arrests.
Correct.
There hadn't been any arrests in the Champion case. And
correct.
They were upset that nobody had been arrested in this case.
Right. But what I'm clearly still understanding, because now it makes me think, does this culture of beating takes place majority, the beating part, does it takes place majority on black institutions because of our view in our community on punishment?
No,
because as you stated, when I did
my little study, I found out that in those other communities, in the white communities, they also were beating those kids. We talked about what happened at New Orleans Saints.
Correct.
With the kid getting jumped in, we were talking about two adults that went to college. Mm-hmm. Not in the NFL. They're over 200 pounds, and they got to get jumped in as rookies on the football team to be part of the New Orleans Saints football team. And, you know, it did hit a little news, but, you know, that was brushed under real fast. That didn't stay on top. Even though they weren't deaf, you had two adults on that football team that went to the hospital because of the same thing. But I'm going to tell you like this, and I've been through the pledging aspect of it. When you're pledged, and this is what you go through, you get beat into the fraternity or you get beat into the organization.
Correct.
You get into that thing where the next, in order for me to let somebody else in, this is what I got to do. And then that person does the same thing. And it goes on year after year after year. Now, a lot of the majority of the band members did not agree with this.
Correct.
But you still had, it was a very small percentage of band members that still agreed with it.
Right, but when you said you brought up
the band was 400 right. strong, there was only 60 kids participating in this.
Correct.
But it did happen.
Correct.
And like a lot of people say, you can't get rid of it. You got to get rid of the band. No. The majority of those band members, the majority of the student body does not agree with it. This, and it can be stopped. But you got to make a bigger effort. You got to make a better effort to stop it. Because there's not being that effort to stop it is not going on. Especially when nationally it's being brushed under the rug.
But when you say nationally being brushed under the rug, I'm glad you tapped on that. Nationally being brushed under the rug, it's easier to brush a case under the rug where there's no death involved. It's easy for people to do that, especially in the backwoods.
Like I said, every year since 1970, there has been death in hazing, regardless of how they die. There was one case in the 80s where all they did was put this young man on a railroad track, blindfolded him, and the train actually was on the other track. The young man died of a heart attack because he thought that he was on the track that the train was coming. This has been going on for years, but it's been brushed under the rug.
Because, as I told you, when you got a team such as FAMU University, you're already at the Classic where this is being broadcast nationally because it's on the television, national television. The band is known for its spectacular play. It's spectacular play. And all of a sudden, you get a death of this magnitude. I don't see it taking place at any other, this is national news. A person dies, it hits national media, and then now day and age, with the cell phones and with internet, this stuff was put out before the media could even get a story on it. It was on Facebook, it was on what you call everything, it was already out. So the national attention will come from within. So it's going to be to that magnitude because you can't hide anything anymore. You can't hide it anymore. It is a culture.
Let's talk about another incident. Let's talk about we might not want to call it hazing, but we know, me and you know, that a coach went too far at Texas Tech a couple of years ago.
And I'm going to tell you
that. That coach did things that he wasn't supposed to do at Texas Tech University.
Correct.
They fired the coach. There was a loss of life there. That situation died. A student died because of a coach went beyond rules, went beyond what you're supposed to do. We know that as a coach, we've told over and over again, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. But a student died. That coach was fired, and that was another job at another school now. That was okay.
But I think when that case came out, and I understand that's mental and that's abuse because you, like I said, you have young men lives in your hands, and you got to make the right decisions when it comes down to it. But I think this one draws so much attention because of how it played out. And I think it's going to continue to draw more attention as this case start heating up because a new prosecutor decided he has more information. He probably has some people that have turned state evidence, turned toward the state to say, hey, let me get this stuff off my back and let me clear it up.
His top witness, the main witness that he has, is the other drum major, and is the drum major that talked him into getting on that bus and doing that. He was the person that sat there with him on the bus. He's the one that said, next year, I'm not going to be a drum major. But you can be the head drum major next year. If you do this, this will make you this. This will make you that. He's the same person that told him to do it. He was the one that convinced him to do it. Now, all of a sudden, to me, that's almost saying, I'm gonna take you over here, and I'm gonna let these guys shoot you, but then I'm gonna turn, and I'm not gonna do any time.
Right, and I understand that, and man, I'm gonna tell you, Conrad, it was a great time talking with you here on the show, man. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. You know, we're running out of time. We got to continue to talk about this because this is a topic that will continue to be talked about.
Yeah, as I want to be on the show for more topics. We definitely
got to get on it. Definitely got to get on it. As we leave out here on the Tony Sands Show, let's understand, and in this case, it is continually black-on-black crime that must stop. I'm going to leave you out with this soundbite. Join us here next week, next Wednesday, 8 to 9, on the Tony Sand Show. And listen to this soundbite as we close out.
Begins on this sun-baked, foot-trampled swath of space in Tallahassee called The Patch.
Oh, The Patch. There is no place on this earth like The Patch. That's where you go to, you know, really work on your character, not just band.
It is the proving ground for the fabled Florida A&M University Marching 100. The band is under indefinite suspension, and no one has marched on The Patch since the fall. On November 19th, one of the six student leaders of the band, drum major and former clarinet player Robert Champion, was beaten to death during a hazing incident.
You're sitting in shock and you're thinking, this is a cruel joke for somebody to play.
His parents, Pamela and Robert Sr., got the news from a late-night phone call. But all they were told at the time was that their son had collapsed and died.
You just start trying to rationalize things in your head. You're trying to figure out, okay, he just collapsed. How could he just collapse? What happened?
They knew their son.
I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.